Louisiana and Missouri all have at least one station selling gas at $1.99. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com tells us the national average has fallen to $2.68 per gallon. That reflects a savings of millions of dollars.
Americans are shelling out nearly $100 million per day less on gasoline than they did in early October. That's because the national average is down about 23.5 cents per gallon in the last month. It currently stands at $2.68 per gallon.
Veterans Day was Sunday, but it is being observed by the federal government today, so that means no mail. Banks will be closed and all the federal offices and buildings will be closed as well. But if you are a veteran looking to grab a bite to eat, many restaurants are offering you a deal to show their appreciation for your service. This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
New details are emerging about the death of a journalist in Turkey. With more, here's USA Radio Network's Wendy King.
Audio of the chilling graphic details of the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi has been released. A Turkish journalist claims he's heard the recording, and Khashoggi's last words were, "I'm suffocating. Take this bag off my head. I'm claustrophobic." He says it took 7 minutes for him to die with the plastic bag on his head and only 15 minutes to cut up the body. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Walt Disney's theme parks are preparing to add something new. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
Walt Disney Company's chief exec Robert Iger says the new Star Wars-themed lands at its theme parks in Florida and California will be the biggest attractions that company's ever built. According to the Orlando Sentinel, Iger told Disney investors on Thursday that demand to visit those new attractions that will be built next year could be dramatically high, and that managing that demand will be a challenge. Those themed areas called Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, again, will open in 2019 at Disney's Hollywood Studios Park in Florida and Disneyland in California. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And finally, it was back on this date in 1954 when Ellis Island shuts its doors after processing more than 12 million immigrants. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Mostly cloudy with a low around 30 and northwest winds around 8 miles an hour. Wednesday will be mostly sunny with a high near 40, northwest winds 7 to 10 miles an hour. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and with a low around 25. And Thursday, we're back to rain after 1 p.m. And Thursday night, rain most likely.
On Thursday, November 8th, from 2 till 7 p.m., the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce will be holding its 30th Annual Business Expo and Food Showcase, presented by PNC Bank. It will be held at Next Level Arena in Flemington, featuring over 100 exhibitors, demos, a chance to enter the cash machine, door prizes, and food tastings from local restaurants. From 4 till 6, meet Bill Spadia from New Jersey 101.5. Admission is free. For details, call the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit hunterdonchamber.org.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and this is NAMI's hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. And NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We work out of our houses. We have no paid staff. But what we try to do is we try to help people who either have someone in their family or someone they know, work with, or are friends with who has a mental illness. And we do it in various ways. We teach what is known as a family-to-family class, which is a 12-week course. And it goes over medications and side effects of medications and what to do, what not to do in certain circumstances. And it tries to make the person take the course feel what it's like to be the person with the illness. We also have a support group that is run the third Thursday of every month. It's at 52 East Main Street, and it runs from 7 to 8:30. Everything we do is free of charge. There's no charge for anything, and you don't have to be a member of NAMI to come to the class or come to the support group. If you'd need more information or would like to ask, you have some questions, you can call our number. It's 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't man it 24 hours a day, but we have a lady who checks it at least twice a day, and we promise you we will get back to you. Today, we are very privileged to have with us Gina Davio.
Hi.
And she is a resource development coordinator and of CEA, which is the Center for Educational Advancement. Is that correct? Okay. And we have Mike, I'm going to kill it, Sojek.
Skocek, but close enough. Sojek,
okay. Who is the president of the Center for Educational Advancement. And Andy Ross, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you are a board member and treasurer?
Correct.
Okay. Well, I want to welcome you, and I want to thank you for taking the time to be here today. We have a lot to discuss, but first let's start with what the upcoming Turkey Trot. So one of you want to elaborate on that?
Well, it's our 26th annual Turkey Trot. It happens every year on Thanksgiving morning from starting at 9:30. And usually we're done by 11:30 right here in the Flemington Borough. But I mean, most importantly, we always want people to know that the Turkey Trot is CEA's largest fundraiser to support our work and mission of helping students and adults with disabilities on their pathway to their careers.
And how many participants do you expect to have?
We're hoping to tip the scales this year with a little bit over 6,000
wow.
participants. Yeah.
That's an awful lot. You
know, it's great.
It's on Main Street Flemington too,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah,
it's
well,
the biggest one in New Jersey.
It is the largest turkey trot in New Jersey. Yeah, we started in 1993 wow. with a mere 225 people, about half of whom actually showed up that morning to register. And now we're looking at, as Gina said, you know, sitting around the 6,000-person mark, between 5,500, 6,000 people for about 6-7 years now. So we seem to have sort of plateaued at that extremely large number, probably matching the number of people who live in Flemington.
Yeah, that's just about, isn't it? Yeah. And how, you know, I know that you have T-shirts and merchandise and bibs. I don't, for whatever reason, you have a bib.
Sloppy eaters, you know.
Yeah, like me. How do the folks find those things? Are they going to have little tables along the way? Or
we actually have a Turkey Trot Expo. It's the first day of our Turkey Trot Expo is on Saturday, November 17th. And the expo is located at our CEA campus on 11 Minneconning Road.
In Flemington.
In Flemington,
right. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. So walkers, participant, you know, walkers, runners, people that enjoy the turkey trot, come to the expo from 9 to 3 p.m. on Saturday to pick up their running credentials, their t-shirts, and they also have the opportunity to even register if they haven't done so already and get their hands on that hot commodity turkey trot merchandise that everyone is always looking to get.
And what about the sponsors? You have sponsors for this, or?
It couldn't happen without our sponsors, quite honestly. Our title sponsor is Johanna Foods. Mike, how since 19?
I think Johanna Foods has been our main or lead or title sponsor since about 1995.
Okay.
The first 2 years, I wasn't directly associated with the event at that time. So I don't know exactly how we went about seeking sponsorship, but I do know that on our third annual event, they became our lead and title sponsor and have remained so ever since.
That's awesome. You know.
Yeah.
They're great supporters of CEA. They're at all of our major events and most of our minor ones, and have been very helpful with us as we proceed through the last few decades that I can think of.
Right, right. That's wonderful.
I mean, we have a lot. So, I mean, we definitely, in addition to Johanna's, of course, Hunterdon Healthcare always has been a consistent sponsor, as well as, you know, other local companies like Farmers Insurance Company of Flemington or Basil Bandwagon. Mm-hmm. It's really a very nice...
My daughter-in-law works in Basil Bandwagon.
Oh, lovely. I love that place. You know, even to new businesses, recognizing, you know, a great opportunity to get their name out there, but to really connect with the community of Flemington, the Max Challenge of Flemington. They're a brand new business.
Right.
They've signed up for sponsorship this year. So,
yeah, it's from what I understand, and Gina's doing most of the work on working to bring more sponsors into the event. But this year, I think we have a record number of sponsors going into Expo, do we not, Gina?
We do. I would say we have about 8 sponsors that will also be at the Expo promoting their businesses. Mm-hmm. And just, again, another way to connect with everyone participating in the turkey trot, too.
Right, right.
Yeah, the business community has been extremely supportive of the event and of CEA in general. I'd like to put a quick shout out also to our friends over at ShopRite of Flemington.
Right.
Joe and his team have
been
long-term sponsors. And anyone who comes out to the turkey trot, if you get a bottle of water or some of the granola snack foods, most of those will have been sponsored and donated by ShopRite.
Right. All right. When was CEA started? And how was it started?
It was started in September of 1970. I wasn't there at the time, so I can't speak from the voice of direct experience, but all the literature I noticed and I've read over the years, and some of the old-timers that I've spoken to that can harken back to those days, let me know that essentially we were formed by a number of parents and family members of folks who had disabilities, who had noticeable inability to join the contemporary workforce of the time in what would be a quote normal unquote fashion. They had something that set them apart from the average of or norms of society, and so we were founded basically by these family members to provide a place for employment, a place for learning work skills, and to basically be a step towards a regular paycheck. My understanding is that we started on Emery Avenue here in Flemington with about 3 people in the programs. And within 2 years, we'd grown to be large enough to take up our current residence over Minneakening Road. And we've since then, we've gone through big programs, new programs. We've opened a school, now schools. We've shifted the types of business we work with and the types of work that we can offer to the folks who come to us for employment. And we're also sort of reaching into the future and following a significant path out into communities where the people who rely on us and ask us for assistance making their paycheck, where they live. So we're not the employer so much anymore and have people come to us for sometimes inconsistent work, but more going into the communities where our referrals live and finding jobs close to their homes, closer to their friends and family, and given the transportation issues that exist in New Jersey, easier for them to get to.
Yeah. I don't even want to go there.
Nah, there's no point.
But the people that you serve, now they may have physical disabilities, mental disabilities. Mm-hmm. They could be mentally ill.
It could be emotional difficulties. I mean, any and every type of quote-unquote disability or different ability we were able to work with to some degree or another, and we're having some significant success helping the people that come to us for help actually become integrated into community employment in an integrated setting. So
right.
It's not a segregated workshop
right.
as such.
Right.
It's more the average working place.
It's your turn, Andy. You've been quiet too long. How did you get to be a board member?
Okay, that's...
And how did they force you to be treasurer? I mean...
No, it's very interesting. I've been very active in the chamber for many years. I've been chairman of the Ambassadors Committee for 10 or 11 years. And I don't know, this is six, seven years ago, something like that. There was Rose Holden, who was two or three people predecessor to Gina on my committee. So she told me about CEA, and I found it interesting. And fortunately, due to budget cuts, she was let go. But Chris Phelan invited certain people from the chamber to her going away party. So it was the first time I went to CEA. And as a background, I have a niece who lives in Virginia who is has many handicaps. And she's in she's in her late 20s, but she's probably in somewhat of a similar
program.
But she's in she's now in a group home, but I mean, she's had some employment in the community. So it just kind of hit home, and I saw a lot of people that were roughly my niece's age.
Right.
And I just decided that it wasn't right away. It was still two or three years later that but it was always in the back of my mind, this is something I really want to pursue. And I did Leadership 100 in through the chamber, and I met John King, who at the time was president of the board, who was and is a freeholder. And so I talked to him. I met Mike Skocic at a Investors Bank networking meeting around the same time. So it was like, it's just, I don't know, kismet, whatever you want to call it, serendipity. And I decided to join. I didn't know anyone on the board, but that was okay. You know, you make new friends that way. And
sure.
I find it very rewarding to help these people and to really get involved. I'm a CPA here in town. BKC & Co. used to be Bedard Kowicki. We have a lot of nonprofit clients. But looking at their tax returns and being on a board is two different things. But it's very interesting. I took a United Way board governance course to learn how to be a better board member. And, you meet the challenges and the successes of the organization. You get very involved in both financially, emotionally, and, time and effort.
Right.
And I find it very rewarding.
That's awesome. I think that, like I said, the mission here is to try to get the word out as to what you guys do. And, they may not be aware of you, just like I can't tell you how many people say, NAMI, what's that?
I've talked to a lot of people who know all about the turkey trot, have no clue what CEA is.
Right, right. It's true. And, the fact is that until they have a situation where they may have to look to find something for their loved one or whatever, they're not going to, but at least by putting the word out, they may know what's out there, and they may not need it right now, but, down the road they might. And so they know it's there.
That's exactly right. It's a matter of, unless you need a specific service or access to something, in many, many times, that's actually off the radar, those who actually provide or have access to those services until you actually need them.
Right.
And luckily we have you here in the chamber to help put our word out there so that maybe one of the 6,000 people picks up one of our T-shirts will see the back of the shirt and read our mission statement and be maybe prompted to give us an email or a phone call to find out more about what we do, whether they need our services or not.
Right. Well, I know for a fact that my wife and I never heard of NAMI. We didn't know what NAMI was until we have four children. Our youngest son attempted suicide twice and wound up in Trenton's psych hospital for almost 3 years. And, you know, then we found out what NAMI was, you know. But until you have that situation, thank God he's doing very well right now. You know, he has his own apartment and he's been working for a little over 3 years at BJ's. And, you know, he takes his meds religiously. So we're very happy about that. I believe that you have... We'll take a quick break. We'll have come back to that because time is slipping by. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have with us today Gina Davio, who is the Resource Development Coordinator for Center for Educational Advancement. We're also privileged to have Mike Skocek.
Yep, that's about it.
Did I get it right?
Wow. You did.
Who is the president for the Center of Educational Advancement. And we have Andy Ross, who's a board member and the treasurer. And we would just before the break, we were going to talk about four basic groups that you have, and you told me that there was like 4.5. So you want to elaborate on let us know what they are.
As I mentioned earlier, we were founded by family members of folks with disabilities, and part of what we do is a workplace readiness program. That's probably our oldest program when you think about it, and we provide a sheltered workshop, a sheltered environment where people with disabilities will come from Somerset and Hunterdon County to our place at Minneakening Road to work on various packaging types of projects, our cafeteria food service program, and learn the skills, develop the habits of successful employment, and where possible, start the migration, if you will, or the transition away from the sheltered environment to a more inclusive community-based working environment. And that kind of leads to, what do? They work in commercial packaging for the most part. So our commercial packaging department or division is our second oldest service, if you will. We go out to the business community at large and seek jobs to be done at our site by the folks who come to us for employment in our extended employment program. And we mentioned Joanna Foods earlier. They are one of our top three customers as far as providing work for our folks to do. And much of the work we do is the creation of variety packs or multi-style packs of products, in their case, juices. But for a host of different companies to create different types of value-added products that we've come to expect in our supermarkets and big-box stores and even the smaller specialty shops. So contract packaging does everything from small mailer assemblies, which is really an almost non-existent right. part of our business now, to pallet loads, truckloads of goods for the larger box stores and virtually everything in between. So most of it is retail-based. We also do work with Roche Molecular Services, building or creating medical kits mm-hmm. from prepackaged, no primary touching of components, right, if you right. will, but the making of the stuff that you might find in a hospital, such as the Hunter Medical Center, for example, or clinics that you might go to for your medical needs and tests. So we've got a wide range of products and services that we offer there for the in-house group that works with us. Those who start to make the transition away from the sheltered environment and into a more integrated working place would be working with our community employment department. And that has grown. Last year we grew about 140%. This year already we're about 40% up over the previous year. And this is an area of significant growth nationwide. It is supported strongly by the state of New Jersey and by the federal government, who provides most of the funding for vocational rehabilitation in one form mm-hmm. or another, to basically encourage people to work in their communities and to become taxpaying workers, living independently as much as possible, and certainly interacting in as normal or natural a way as anyone else does, and get into an integrated environment rather than a sheltered environment where there's a great amount of homogeneity of workers. So you're working with people who have similar circumstances to you versus in the general public, you're working with any and everybody who got hired. And it is felt that community employment is preferable. And in the state of New Jersey, employment in general is the preferred option for all people after they're done with their school, as per it was Governor Christie, I guess, who declared New Jersey an employment first state in 2012. So we're working with our state and, to a lesser degree, federal partners to work to help as many people as possible not get into a sheltered environment in the first place and help those who are in it get into a more inclusive environment for their long-term work.
Let me interrupt.
Of course.
You get someone a position. Do they have some kind of a counselor who goes with them
Absolutely.
The first week or so or 2 weeks or whatever a case may be?
Supports through the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation Services, which is part of New Jersey's Department right. of Labor, can last up to 2 years. So the typical person who comes through the community employment work group would be referred to us by the Vocational Rehabilitation Office of Somerset, Hunterdon, or Middlesex County. We're reaching a much wider, more diverse population now. If we're having the referral, we'll make contact with that individual, find out where they live and where they would like to work, basically an interests inventory, and seek to help them find mm-hmm. work. And a lot of that's electronic these days. I mean, there's a bit of foot pounding on the ground, if you will,
right.
but a lot
right.
of it is through Indeed and other search engines and programs. Once the person has focused in on a specific employer they'd like to work for or a specific industry, we will then help them find that dream job and get the job. We do everything from your mock interviews for feedback from right. From peers and others to helping the person get into the interview and then get out of the interview successfully. That's called pre-placement, if you will. It's before the person actually has the job. There's then typically several weeks, several months, it depends on the individual, a degree of what's called intensive job coaching, which is essentially a one-on-one relationship with a coach, not all working hours, certainly a fading relationship. Right. So the person, as they get better at and mm-hmm. more accustomed to their job and the good, bad, and uglies that are associated with any job, our coaches step back and basically become available as needed rather than helping the person learn their job, which doesn't push the need to train as deeply on the employer and the resources that they may have with their other employees. We will learn the job from the employer, help the person we're finding find their place at the place, as it were, learn their habits and learn the methodologies and the culture of the business, and then eventually step back. And that step back relationship is really at the direction and decision of the individual who is working.
Right.
They can maintain contact with us for 1 hour a month, 3 hours a month, no hours a month. And when it's, you know, one or zero, that's essentially, you know, job well done. Hopefully a job kept for, you know, for as long as the individual wants it. But should they need to, we can always be you know, asked to come back in.
I know my son years ago.
Mark.
Was at, yeah, you know Mark.
I do.
Okay. He was not in the best of shape at the time he was there. So, you know, he wound up back in the hospital numerous times after that. And but like I said, right now he's held the job at BJ's for 3.5 years, and they love him and he loves them. And, you know, so it worked out, thank God. It worked out well, you know.
And it's good.
But it's been a long 20 years, you know. But,
although to that point, I think, you know, one of the things that we stress with our coaches as they come on board and as we you know, reach out into the community is it doesn't really matter what your abilities are or are not. Somewhere there's a job for you if you want it. It's just a matter of uncovering it. Sometimes that takes forever. Sometimes it's you know, we're lucky enough, and you know, serendipity is such that it happens immediately.
Right.
Not very often, unfortunately.
No, unfortunately, that's true. How do you screen clients? You know, when somebody comes to you or is recommended to your organization, is there a screening process?
There's not really a screening process, you know. The
more like an intake.
It's an intake,
you know?
But it's more of a get to know you discovery type session.
Okay.
The folks who are referred to us by vocational rehabilitation people down in the state offices, they've already taken the first step. They've gone to the VR people and said, "I need help getting a job." So the first step of "I want a job" is already taken, and you know, we can work with almost any number of thoughts and requests as to what a good job would be. Sometimes they're impractical because they don't exist necessarily in New Jersey. But at the same time, there's always something that could take its place. It's a matter of, you know, working with the individual to uncover what could be the best interest. And it's not all retail or service sector. There's office jobs. There's unusual things in the hospitality industry. I mean, you can think of places like, you know, smaller baseball stadiums and places like that. Jobs that may not have even existed 20, 30 years ago.
Right, exactly.
Are suddenly now kind of cool and available.
Right.
So it's really a matter of having the right mindset of our coaches rather than working with the people that are referred, because they've already taken that step. They want a job. We just got to help them find it.
Right. All right, Andy. You're there. Why don't you explain a little bit about what your job is on the board as opposed to also being a treasurer?
Well, I mean, we're...
Well, what does the board do then, say?
I mean, we meet probably once every 6 to 8 weeks. And there's various topics, financial and other, you know. Mike is constantly emailing all the board members for updates, which, no, is greatly appreciated. We need to know what's going on. We're not there day to day, the board. Yeah. And we can offer expertise. You know, we have a lot of fairly good high-powered people in various industries. So we can, you know, we happen to have a lawyer, and he help us with legal, and, you know, someone who's high up in Prudential with investments and whatnot, and I can offer other financial, you know, expertise. And so we're just there to, I mean, a lot of it is, you know, financial help, mm-hmm. obviously, but I must admit, not overly imposed upon, which I appreciate, you know.
You're welcome.
But I think everyone, you know, knows that we should give what we can and give of our time and help out on fundraisers and wherever we can. But we go discuss things. I mean, I'm sure that Mike does a great job with, there's constantly things kind of shifting, you know, different programs become more or less favored by the state.
Right.
And, you know, we're kind of a counterweight to the day-to-day, you know. We're trying to be a little more...
sort of bigger picture.
Bigger picture, that's exactly.
Do you have grants Do you apply for grants?
That's Gina's job.
We do.
All right.
We do.
How about that? No, I was just curious because I know funding is always difficult for any organization, you know, nonprofits and so on and so forth. It's very difficult.
Yeah, it's a never-ending
struggle. Exactly. You know, and so aside from donations that the average person will send, you know, there's grants, I know.
We're constantly looking for, you know, grant opportunities that, you know, fit what we do in the community. We're very fortunate. We were just awarded a $10,000 grant from Provident Bank in support of our Career Pathways program. And Mike was talking about that earlier. That's that program specifically is helping individuals that have been with us the longest and who exhibit more barriers to working in the community. So we're very fortunate to have just been awarded that grant. Mm-hmm. We've also been awarded a grant from Church and Dwight recently in the amount of $5,000 for our for our transition program that we're going to touch upon. You know, another example, the Investors Foundation right here in Flemington, Magyar Bank in Middlesex County, you know, because we do, our services are in Hunterdon, Somerset, Middlesex. So, you know, we're looking at, for support and grant opportunities in all the counties that we serve. Those are just a few. The Large Foundation, always.
This is the large building,
right.
Seriously.
Perfect. So they are longtime supporters to our programs as well.
Right. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You know. Now, I understand that you have about 10 core values. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we'll go over every one of them, but what about social responsibilities? How do you address that?
Well, to our way of thinking, treating people equally, getting people the same opportunities to work within the community as anyone else has, is a social responsibility. I think we have obviously the standard social responsibilities of using our resources wisely. That, of course, is our copy, paper, and toner, but it's also the monies that foundations do grant to us in support of our programs. It's essentially, we see it as a need to be responsible social, you know, members of society. We're not out to enrich ourselves. No one at CEA is getting rich, but we are helping to enrich an awful number of people's lives.
Right,
and that's that to me is the that core value, kind of in a nutshell.
And an enriching isn't necessarily monetary.
It isn't always.
Because when you're dealing with someone who has either a physical disability or a mental disability or a mental illness, if you can get them to a position where they can function on their own, in a position, in a job, even if it's part-time, you know, mm-hmm. it's very helpful.
It is, and I believe it is probably very positive for that individual's self-confidence.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Which, you know, self-confidence, as long as it's not completely misplaced, is usually a very good thing no matter what.
Right, right.
And again, I think part of it also is treating that and every other individual equally, not, you know, with special treatment or with not so much deference, but basically shepherding or hiding people rather than allowing them to become more positive, integrated members of their society.
Now, I know from 20 years or so at NAMI that it's very hard for some people to embrace change, that their situation is this, and if it veers off to the left or the right a little bit, it's like, you know, crash time.
Yeah.
How do you address that?
Well, I think Gina mentioned sort of a lead-in to that with the Career Pathways program. That was a program that had a grant basically associated with it last year through the Department of Labor. It was is designed basically to take the folks that have been in sheltered employment the longest and help them understand the options that might exist in the non-sheltered environment. Mm-hmm. It was basically a pathway out of the workshop and into the community at large. We've had that program running for a little over a year now, and this year it is not funded by anything besides grants and whatever monies we can scrape together at CEA. And we're starting to finally see some success with people truly embracing the idea of, let me go and try and find a job outside. It's taken a year. It's taken more than a year in many cases for the understanding that this isn't all there is. There could be more than just CEA. And, just CEA isn't a pejorative statement. I believe we're a very important member of this community. Right. But allowing people the opportunity to understand what may be out there now that was maybe not out there 20, 30 years ago, that's taking time. And that's some of the change that we're trying to encourage and embrace with the community's help, with the business community, the people at large. And, again, people have been in our workshop for 10, 20, 30 years at times, they may just not know what's out there for them.
Right.
And the fear of change is strong.
Yeah. Approximately, how many clients do you have?
Today? It's Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day, everybody, and thank you, veterans, one and all. Today, the buses are not running from the county transportation, which is the primary source of transport. So today, we really don't have any. But
overall?
We have about 52 people in our sheltered workshop extended employment program who call CEA home or employer.
Right, right.
On any given day, we have about 70 people that we're supporting in long-term, the up to 2 years supports. And we have around 200 a month, give or take, that we are supporting through the pre-placement, let's help you find a job, or the job coaching, which is let's keep you in your job and help you learn it and do better at it.
Right.
The other thing we have, though, is we have 18, I believe, students now in two schools. The schools are no longer at CEA. We have one established inside the South Hunterdon Regional High School.
Okay.
And we have another one that we opened in July up in Pequannock Township Regional High School. So as Gina mentioned, we're in Somerset, Hunterdon, and Middlesex counties.
Right.
And now we're in Morris County. So we're taking our show on the road. We're going to where the people are.
There you go.
And we're saying, you don't need to come to Flemington. We can help you help yourself where you want to
be
helped.
Right, right.
And that's academic, that's transition to adulthood, and that's employment through adulthood.
Is there a fraction of CEA in other counties like Atlantic or whatever down south, or
sort of sister organizations, if you will?
Yeah,
there's programs.
Are they connected with you guys, or
we're connected through a state association? We are 100% independent, and I believe aside from places like the ARC that have that working relationship and goodwill that have a working relationship with different ARCs and goodwills, most of our sister organizations, if you will, run their own business their own way. They have their own programs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And some are stronger at some things than others, so we all work for the same general common good. Some have been around longer than others, but we're all vital members of our communities, but we CEA don't have a direct association with anyone else.
Okay. One of your other values is respect and self-determination.
Mm-hmm.
Self-determination. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. Would you like me to?
Yes, I would.
Ah, fair enough then. The self-determination, again, and that's part of respect. That's part of treating people in a socially responsible manner or working with them. What would you like to do? Not do what I tell you to do or do what you're being told to do.
Right.
It's, the best employee is the one that wants to go to work at the employer, not the one that just feels they have to. We strongly advocate for in our schools through inclusive learning within the high school environment, which is again within the public high school, and with our community employment programs, and certainly every day at work, treating everyone as equals, working and communicating in a non-demeaning manner, but also finding out what they would like to do, so that we can help them find their job. I got a perfect example for you.
Okay.
A young man who spent several years as one of our extended employees, and he joined the Career Pathways program about a year ago. And he'd worked in our packaging department business. He'd worked in our food service and cafeteria environment. And he'd explored some different types of employment options through our experience program, where people go out into the community to some of our business partners who will allow us to come in and show what jobs are out there in our neighborhoods, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, this young man, he really kind of liked food. He's extremely social. He loves to talk to people. He understands that the more people you can meet, the more interesting experiences you can have. And he wanted a job at Chuck E. Cheese. That was his dream job. That's exactly what he wanted to do. And there's no Chuck E. Cheese's here.
No.
Luckily, he lives in Somerset County. There is one in Bridgewater.
Right.
He is right now working at Chuck E. Cheese. He worked with our job coach, his job coach, excuse me, our job developing person. And she was with him almost every hour that he was employed once he went through the interview process. And he started 3 days a week for 2 to 3 hours a day, just prepping napkins and forks.
Right,
and then he got into measuring out foods. And now he's there, I believe, 4 hours a day, 4 days a week. And he doesn't need our help, thank you very much. He loves it where he is. He has interaction with his coworkers, his supervisor, obviously plenty of customers, young and old. And this process of actually starting the new job happened in May of this year. So it took about 6-7 months for us to find the job that he wanted, that he identified. We got him with his, mostly his help, of course.
Right, right.
The opportunity for an interview, he aced it, got the job, and now he's fully independent, if you will. But he took time out of his busy day to come to our golf fundraiser, which was held at Stanton Ridge back in October 1st. And he took time out and addressed the 100 or so guests of ours.
I was there.
And told them what he did. Andy, you want to maybe talk about how...
No, I didn't know about him at all, but I was very impressed. And that sort of just kind of reinforces that we're doing good things.
Right,
as board
exactly.
Members, to hear personal testimonials.
Right.
I don't think I don't know how old he is, but he's not a young man.
He's not... Well, compared to some of us, maybe, but...
Yeah. No, he's probably middle-aged.
I would say he's probably in his early to mid-30s, yeah.
Oh, I thought he was older than that, but...
Actually, no, well, you may be right.
But anyway, but it was... And I didn't know his full history until now, but...
Right.
But, it was hopefully helping, the people who are not CEA employees or board members who were golfing that day to just... feel a little more connected to CEA to help out in any way they can,
right.
Financially or otherwise.
And, yeah, that's awesome. We have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. Please tune in to Living Consciously, where myself and my co-host will entertain you, inform you, and educate you in certain modalities. Living Consciously is something that we really must learn to do, because that way you'll know what's going on around you. This show can be heard at 2 p.m. every Friday on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Thank you.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we have with us today Gina Davio, who is a Resource Development Coordinator for Center for Educational Advancement. We have Mike Skocek. Hey, I got a twist. That's two out of four, who is the president. And we also have Andy Ross, who's a board member and the treasurer. And before we were going to take the break, I think you wanted to talk about, what do you call it, the HALF program? Or
yeah, we spoke about our four main programs, the community employment, the employment readiness, right, the school, of course, and packaging. But the HALF program, it's currently funded through a federal grant administered by the state of New Jersey for pre-ETS. Interesting sounding a name, if you will. It stands for Pre-Employment Transition Services, and it is specifically geared to work with young adults, young youth, really, still in high school,
okay,
that are looking to explore the world of work once they're out of school. It's sort of a pre-transition program, before the kid or the young adult gets out of school. What do they want to know about their possible, you know, post-school endeavors? How does work work? Is higher education the path to go rather than going straight to an employment situation? What about self-advocacy? How does a person with a disability who's young stand up for themselves and express themselves and seek the supports they might want or need, but without sort of being subservient to the person giving them, if you will? It's part of the Workforce Investment and Opportunities Act demand that the states provide this type of service to these young people as they're getting closer to starting to transition away from high school. And the state of New Jersey picked CEA, along with, I think, 10 other organizations in the mm-hmm. state, to run a program that addresses how to talk to these young people and how to interest them and engage them and their families in thinking about their futures. And we're currently in the third of four 10-person rounds, if you will, each lasting 12 weeks, that works with kids with IEPs in high schools in a non-high school setting that says, what can we explore? How can we work with you to let you see what, you know, the benefits of a paycheck mm-hmm. and a positive working environment could be? Our third group is currently based out of Raritan Valley Community College, and they're working with us to provide space and a home base, if you will. And every Saturday, they're going out to different employers in the general region. And in about 2 weeks, they'll start their four-week internship, which will give them about 40 hours worth of paid work with a job coach. And I see this as possibly being the long-range glue that holds CEA deeper and stronger to many, many more communities in New Jersey. It is working with the youth in school to understand what their options could be. We already have two, and I'm hoping for three to four schools in the next few years mm-hmm. In New Jersey, working with students in their transition and their academic standards.
Right.
And then we have our burgeoning community employment group, which is becoming more and more, people referred to it, are becoming younger and younger on average. I can okay. see this as being the model of the future, helping people decide for themselves what they want to do before they have to and before they're actually out of school.
Right, right. Definitely.
So, that's my pitch.
All right, Gina, you're up. you have a spring fundraiser coming up?
We do, we do. So it is still in formation, but
we have decided to kind of mix up our fundraising from what we usually do in the spring. Usually we have a dinner dance and auction. This year we are going to add on a spring run in Somerset County. Like I mentioned before, we serve Hunterdon in Somerset, Middlesex, and now starting in Morris County as well. So we're just hoping, you know, we're not expecting instantaneous turkey trot, but we would like to start another fundraiser in Somerset County to help, you know, to definitely be more visible there as well. And so that'll be mid-March.
I think this also helps explain and underscore the fact that we're not just Flemington-based anymore, although Flemington will always be our home. But we can try and reach out to a new group of sponsors who may not know about us, some new people who are athletically inclined, and we can work off our expertise and one of our strengths, which is working with the folks in the Turkey Trot and the running community at large.
Right. And, you know, it seems to me that the more sponsorships you receive, the more people you could probably help in various counties. It wouldn't have to be just this four or five, you could go to five or six or whatever.
Yeah, that is the plan. And the more businesses that are aware of us and what we do and how we do it, the more likely we are to be able to talk some of them into becoming potential employers of some of the folks needing help employment or as an evaluation site to see if a certain type of industry or job is actually suitable for a person's needs versus their initial thinking. So we have a lot of work to do, but there's an awful lot of help out there.
Now, some of the companies that hire clients from CEA, what are some of the local ones around here?
Our good friends at ShopRite.
I was just
going to
say ShopRite. I know does.
We have an awful Walmart.
Home Depot, Lowe's.
Lowe's, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a
I think it's really important to not all of the people that we work with are necessarily employed at these places, but a lot of these businesses, like Mike was mentioning earlier, offer their business as a place where the pre-employment activities can take place. So I know that we visit Independence Manor quite frequently. Right. Those might be opportunities where, let's see if, given this job task, if this is something you really enjoy, or let's see if, this is... Is it what you thought it would be? So really there's the opportunity to, even if it doesn't end up with employment, the opportunity to provide those services in a community setting is also very valuable to us as well.
We have about less than a minute left. Is there anything you'd like to say?
Sign up for Turkey Trot.
There you go.
Thanksgiving's coming. It's only a week and
go to the website.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. That was my last thing. If they wanted more information, what's the website?
Our website is CEA-NJ.org. From our website, you can just go to Turkey Trot, and that will take you directly to Run Sign Up, where people can register to either walk or run, and don't fret if you're in Vermont or somewhere else besides Flemington. You can sign up as a virtual runner and still receive a T-shirt and medal when you send us your time.
Okay. Is there a phone number if somebody wanted some information about, say, a loved one who may be interested in your program or would be interested? Is there a phone number?
908-782-1480, and just push 0 for the operator, and Tracy or someone just like her will be able to guide you to whoever you need to speak with. So 908-782-1480.
All right. I can't thank you guys enough. I'm guys
thank
and
you.
Gina.
It's our one of the guys.
You're one of the guys. And for being on, I really appreciate it, and I really think that, you guys are doing an awesome job.
Thank you.
If anything NAMI can do to help you, feel free to reach out.
Well, we always appreciate the opportunity to, be on your show and do outreach that way as well. So
You definitely will come back.
Thank you.
Have you back. And I just wanted to say thank you to all our veterans. And those on active duty now, come home safe, and God bless you all. See you next week, same time, same station. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare.